Denver was not Hawaii. There were no beaches, no palm trees, no bikinis, no Mai Tais sipped slowly on the deck of the lava shack on Maui. Instead, there were people dressed like they were expecting the next ice age, directing planes down taxiways lined with mounds of freshly plowed snow. There wasn't anyone wearing a bikini within 500 miles. Worse yet, while it was only 3 p.m. local time on Thursday afternoon when Jonathan Quinn's flight began disembarking, a layer of gunmetal gray clouds made it seem like it was almost night. It was definitely vacation over, back to work. After he exited the plane, Quinn made his way toward the front of the terminal, pulling his only piece of luggage, a carry-on suitcase, behind him. Not far beyond his arrival gate was a small kiosk. He stopped and bought an overpriced cup of coffee. As he took a sip, he glanced around. There seemed to be an equal amount of people walking to and from the gates. A typical busy afternoon in a typical busy international airport. But it wasn't typical people he was looking for. He did a lot of traveling and knew from experience that you could never be sure who you might run into. In his business, that wasn't necessarily a good thing. But his arrival appeared to have been unobserved. He took another sip of his coffee and moved on. Instead of following the crowd and proceeding to the passenger pickup area, Quinn found a seat next to a set of arrival and departure screens near the ticketing and check-in counters. He pulled out the book he'd been reading on the plane, South of the Border, West of the Sun, by Haruki Murakami, and started in where he'd left off. When he finished the book an hour later, 24 additional flights had arrived. He closed the novel and returned it to his bag. Time to call in. "I thought you said you'd arrive first thing this morning," the voice on the other end of Quinn's phone said, irritated. "Selective memory, Peter," Quinn replied. "Those were your words." "Is my ride here?" "It's been there since 8 a.m., Peter fumed. He told Quinn where to find the car, then hung up. The ride turned out to be a blue Ford Explorer. The vehicle came equipped with leather seats, an AM/FM radio, a CD player, and two men, neither of whom felt it necessary to give Quinn their names. He designated them the driver and the other one. As Quinn climbed into the back seat, the other one tossed him a 9x12-inch padded envelope. It was about an inch thick and weighed maybe a pound. Quinn started to open it. "Don't," the driver said. He was glancing at Quinn in the rearview mirror. "Why not?" Quinn asked. The other one turned toward him.
"Not until we're gone. Instructions."
Quinn rolled his eyes and set the envelope on the seat beside him.
"I wouldn't want you to get in trouble."
They drove in silence for the next hour, through Denver and into the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It was dark now, and Quinn was getting hungry. The last meal he'd had was on the plane somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, if you could call the less-than-inviting beef stroganoff he'd been served a meal. But he kept his hunger to himself. He knew if he didn't, his two new companions might decide that they were hungry too. God forbid he would be forced to eat with them. Instead, he tried to imagine that the pine trees they drove by were palm trees, and that the cloudy sky was just the regular afternoon rainstorm moving onto the island. After a few minutes, he gave up and just stared out the window. The dirty snow along the side of the road was a poor substitute for the beaches of Kanapali. Finally, the driver exited I-70 and drove a mile down a two-lane road into the darkened wilderness before turning left onto a narrower, snow-packed road. 100 yards ahead, a green Ford Taurus was parked off to the side, tucked up against the encroaching woods. The driver stopped behind it and turned the SUV's engine off. If Quinn didn't know better, he would bet he was about to be removed permanently. Deserted road? Two silent goons? A getaway car? Classic assassination scenario. Game over, buddy. Thanks for playing, but you lose. And though he knew he had nothing to worry about, he tensed a little, preparing himself just in case. Without a word, both the driver and the other one opened their doors and got out. As they did, a blast of cold air swept into the SUV. Quinn watched as they walked over to the Taurus and climbed in. A moment later, the sedan roared to life. Without even giving the engine time to warm up, the driver executed a quick U-turn, then sped off, back toward I-70. Quinn chuckled to himself. This sort of cloak-and-dagger bullshit was really kind of amusing if you thought about it. Asinine, but amusing. He got out of the Explorer, his teeth clenching against the frigid air. The leather jacket he was wearing was a lousy barrier to the cold, but it was all he'd had with him when his vacation on the islands was cut short. He hurried around the front of the vehicle and got into the driver's seat. The moment he had the door closed and the engine started again, he flipped the heater on full blast, letting the warm air fill the cabin. One of his first stops would be a place he could buy a winter coat, maybe even a couple of sweaters. Thermals, too. God, he hated cold weather.